Welcome to Empower Church. Thank you for joining us today. We are a church that has been called by God, set apart by Him, and bound together by His love. A church that aims to reach the community, the nation, and the world with a message of hope. We hope this message will build your faith, give you godly perspective, and leave you empowered to impact your community and the world.
Amen. Lord Jesus, lift your hands with me. Lord Jesus, we love you. We're enthusiastic about you because you're about us. And I pray this night that your word will run through our bones like fire. There's no other name in heaven and on earth, the name of Jesus. Hell trembles, demons fear him. Governments are afraid of him. Because on his shoulders rests the government, and that government has no end. He's calling himself Emmanuel, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He was the God that left heaven for us. He was the God that went back to heaven and is soon the soon coming King. And we are here, Lord, as witnesses on planet Earth to let the world know that He still heals diseases. He still casts out devils. He still changes situations. He still breaks the breakthroughs. He still opens up the waters. He's still saved by the lion's den. He still removes those out of the prison cell. He still walks the streets. He still walks the malls. He still walks the hospitals. He still walks the houses. He still saves the nations. He is still the name higher than any other name. He is a name that is undefeated. Our name of our God, our King, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord lives now and forevermore. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on, why don't you give Jesus Christ a praise of me. Amen and amen. Save me attitude. Oh no, come on, say that like you do it. With attitude, say attitude. Amen. We're going to get received. The Bible says the violent take it by force. Are you there? So say with me, attitude. Are you expecting to receive from God tonight? I'm getting to like the evening crowd. You guys are fun, amen? So getting to like this crowd a lot. And so, listen, we haven't come through 18 months to praise Him like average people. No. They won't lock us down and keep us shut. Amen. My mom always said, shut up. We won't shut up. We cannot shut up. We have to praise Him. If we don't do, the rocks will cry out. It's simple. Can I say that again? If you don't shout for Him, the rocks will shout for Him. Something will shout for Him. The Bible says in Philippians chapter number 2, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that He's Lord. You know, as you are standing, listen, the Bible actually says, do you know that the Bible says that they were together in one accord and in one place? That word one accord in one place is the Greek word homophonia. And it means this, that there was one sound of praise and worship and prayer going up. Not just prayer. The word there is homophonia. It means that they came into one sound. They started to worship Him as one. They started to praise Him as one. They started to pray and call out His name as one. And then suddenly the Bible says, you see, when man comes together, and I can tell you prophetically, there's something rising up in the Christian church right now. Because if you don't discern it, you're just deaf and dumb. But listen, there's something that's rising up where we are saying we've had enough. There's a homophonia once again. And the Bible says, listen to this. It's not part of the sermon, but it's important. The Bible says, Philippians chapter number 2, it says, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. That Jesus is Lord is the Greek word homophonia. It means that all of the earth, the demons, the principalities, the powers, the dominions, the devil, governments, everybody will declare as one. And they will say it like an anthem. This word, Jesus is Lord, is an anthem word. In other words, across the earth, they will anthem His name. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. That's how it's going to sound. So you better believe everybody that is up to their tricks, they will be forced to bow their knees. They will be forced to bow their... They will be forced to on the floor. all of the stuff that we have been through this 18 months, diabolical plan of the devil, come on. You know, South Africa is in deep trouble. If the church doesn't wake up, we are the hope, we are the light, we are the salt, we are everything. And so, we are, that's why I'm saying, on Sunday nights like this, we have to say, Jesus is Lord. Because as we do, there is an echo in heaven that says, we agree with you. Jesus is Lord. Come on, are you guys there? Listen, Satan believes the Lord's name is so powerful that there's no other name that gets copied. It's not anti-Buddha, anti-Hare Krishna, anti-Muslim, it's anti-Christ. Why? There's only one Jesus, there's only one God, there's only one Savior, there's only one Redeemer. His name is Jesus. So that's why you'll never hear somebody curse in the name of Buddha or in the name of Muslim or in the name of Hare Krishna or in the name of Islam. Why? None of them have got power. There's one that has power, and that's why his name gets used. Come on, do you believe what I say? That's why I say in the name of Jesus Christ, every demon bow, sickness bows, viruses bows, authorities bow in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's on that name that we are saved. That is on that name that we are born again. It's on that name that He will split the heavens once again and come back for us. Oh, come on, are you there? And the more theories I hear of how soon it is, the gladder I'm getting, because I'm getting excited that we're going to see Him soon. Oh. But before we see Him, listen, we have to take in the harvest. We have to see power, we have to see signs, we have to see miracles, we have to see the Lord spread across this nation. Come on, if we are silent, if good men are silent, our nation will go down. Listen, the nation is in trouble. Domestic violence is an all-time high, murder is an all-time high, rape is an all-time high, joblessness is an all-time high. And Christians are afraid, but not us. Listen, what will your excuse be in front of Peter, in front of Paul, in front of Jeremiah, in front of Hezekiah, in front of Jesus? Will you be say you were afraid? Come on. Paul will say, I've been stoned. I stood up. Peter will tell you, listen, I've been whipped. John will tell you, I was thrown to Patmos. Daniel will tell you, I sat of the lions. Joseph said, I was forgotten in prison. Samson will say to you, I thought it was over. Jeremiah will tell you, I was sawn in two. Come on, what will our excuse be? There's no excuse to be comfortable in this hour. Are you there? There's just one thing to do, and that's to save people, to get as much souls into heaven as what we can in this hour. Come on. I like that. I like it that the whole world will gonna anthem His name. Jesus is Lord. Ah, I like that. I like that governments will bow down. Jesus is Lord. All of these people that put limitations on the church, they're going to bow. They're going to say, Jesus is Lord. Oh, can you imagine how much power He's got that's coming with Him? I just want to be on His side, amen? Listen, if you know anything about Jesus, you know He's powerful. You know He is consuming. You know He has a fire inside of Him. John the Apostle said it like this, He has a fire in His eyes. It's a fire of God. Come on, are you here? You know, when God called me, He said to me before, there will come a time where you will lead a revival, or you will see revival happening. And the more we're living in this time, like this morning, we had power here like I haven't seen in a long time. And this night I'm sensing it again. Last week I saw it already. And I was thinking to myself, listen, if it's going to go on like this, we're going to have power upon power, revival upon revival, miracles upon miracles. People will travel from the east and the west and the south and the north to come and see the light. Come on, are you there? Because you are the light, you are the salt, you are the way, you are the truth through Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus matters in this time. Oh, come on. So we'll have no excuse. That's the bottom line. There is no excuse. We'll have none. Because everybody that went before us went through more than us. Amen. Come on, it's not your wounds that define you, it's your scars. It's not what you've been wounded by, it's what you've been healed from. Oh, can I say that again? It's not what you've been wounded by, it's what you've been healed from. There's power in your scars. Jesus says to them, touch my scars, not my wounds. Amen. Come on, let's give Jesus one more praise offering. Save me attitude. No, say again, attitude. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into the fire, they did it of an attitude. When Joseph walked out of that prison cell, when they called his name, he did it of an attitude. When Daniel walked out of that lion's den, he did it of an attitude. When John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, he did it of an attitude. When Jesus hung on that cross, he did it with an attitude. When he rolled that stone away, he did it of an attitude. When he's going to come back, you better believe it, he's not going to come back as some little lamb. He's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Then we cannot be ashamed of Him. Amen. Oh, just tell Him how much you love Him. Give Him one more praise offering. Attitude. Amen. There, we may have an attitude against the devil. We may have an attitude against sin. We may have an attitude against what the enemy is trying to do. Amen. You've got nothing to fear and everything to gain. Save me, I receive. No, save me with authority, I receive. Save me tonight, Lord Jesus. I'm ready to be interrupted. Oh no, say that like you expect it. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm ready to be interrupted. Interrupt my story. Change my narrative in this night. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, let's praise Him. Let's praise Him, let's praise Him, let's praise Him, let's praise Him. Attitude, I want to lead people with attitude, amen. You're welcome to be seated. You're not going to be long seated with all thy hands tonight. You know, I want to get the dust off. Say, yeah, you can say, you look at our men's. We need to get this dust off. It's people that have got too much dust. The anointing breaks the yoke. Doesn't discuss it, doesn't talk about it, it just breaks it. You are of the anointed ones. You needed to say amen there. I'm looking at millionaires, I'm looking at billionaires, I'm looking at people that want to do something for God. I don't believe that He's called any of us to be average, quite frankly. We don't go for what we go through to be average, near the Yerevit. We go through what we go through to be victorious people. Oh, come on, are you there? So pray your big prayers and ask your big stuff, because anything that you ask Him anyway is too small. Are you there? Are you with me? Okay, so I want to speak to you. You guys are pulling heavy already, so I like that. You know what I like? Save me atmosphere. Atmosphere is everything, because without atmosphere, miracles can't come. Jesus had a lack of atmosphere in His hometown. He couldn't do anything. So atmosphere is everything. And that's why we make you shout. That's why we make you jump up and down. That's why we make you do stuff. Why? Atmosphere. Because you're telling Him that you want Him. He doesn't go where He's tolerated. He goes where He's celebrated. Amen. I want to speak to you very briefly tonight about Hanged by Offense, part number 2. If you listen to part number 1, I think it helped a lot of people. But I want to speak to you about Hanged by Offense, part number 2. And last week I said to you in Luke chapter number 22, verse number 32, the Bible says, "But I've prayed for you," Jesus speaking to Peter, "that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." In other words, Jesus doesn't say, "Peter, we pray that you be removed out of your storm. We pray that you remove out of your shaking." Jesus says, "I pray that you'll stay and that you will hold the faith, that you'll keep the faith. And when you turn, strengthen your brother." The word staying power is the word hupetasso, which is the word for submission. In other words, when you are submitted, it means pressure will come. Jesus was not saying, listen, I pray that you'll escape the pressure. Jesus said, I pray that you'll stay under pressure and make it by faith. Are you with me? It's not what you have survived. It is what you can stay under and stay true to. Okay, are you there? So I want you to understand that, because many Christians, we pray wrong. We say, Lord Jesus, take us out of this, take us out of that. He can't answer that type of prayer. In other words, for example, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't know what they're going to get into when they went into the fire. They just made up their minds. They said, listen, we will not bow down to your idol. And even if our God doesn't save us, we still won't do it. They didn't know that a fourth man will appear in the fire. Joseph sat in that prison cell for how long? Until his name was called. Are you with me? So sometimes we want to ask God to remove us out of stuff when He says, no, I'm developing you, I'm shaping you, I'm molding you under pressure. Because diamonds are formed in pressure. So we can choose vessels of gold, vessels of silver, vessels of wood, vessels of clay. There's four dimensions in Christianity, or four types of Christians. If you're going to be a diamond, take the pressure. If you're going to be gold, go through the fire. The fire is not easy, it's not nice, nobody likes it, I understand. But again, it's not what has wounded you, it's what you've healed from. In Mark 16, verse number 6, the Bible says, but He said to them, do not be alarmed, angels speaking. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they've put Him. But go tell the disciples and Peter, He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There we will see Him, just as He told you. So the women left the tomb and ran away, trembling and bewildered. And in their fear, they did not say a word to anyone. And as I was looking at this, the Lord started to speak to me, and I wanted to say this. But you have to understand, when we speak about our offense, we are speaking about, just to recap out of last week, I said to you last week that Judas became offended because Jesus rebuked him on the basis of what he disqualified another worshiper on. In other words, Mary were pouring her oil, and Judas judged that oil. He said, listen, why don't you sell this and give it to the poor? And Jesus judged Judas, or Jesus said to him, listen, Judas, you have to understand, the poor you will always have, but what she is doing is for my burial. In other words, don't judge what another worshiper is doing based on your shortcoming. So while she's pouring, don't judge it. Because I'm healing her and I'm walking with you. Are you there? The Bible says Judas had a problem with that. And so because Jesus rebuked him, the Bible says offense came into his heart. And I said last week to you, and I'll say it again, Judas was closer to Jesus than anybody else. Because Judas was the one that handled the money. He was closer than John. He was closer than Peter. And so you have to understand, the Bible says this very clearly for us, that Satan has to get a foothold. In other words, there has to be an entry place. And for Judas, it was his judging of somebody else's act of worship. Are you with me? Are you getting what I'm saying? And so Jesus said, listen, Judas, don't judge what you don't understand. And Judas caught an offense. And then the Bible says Judas obviously took out of the money, because he sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And the reason why he sold him for 30 pieces is that was the deficit that he needed to make up to balance the wallet. Are you there? Are you okay? Are you with me still? Okay. And you have to know, the reason why I'm talking about offense is because the gospel is about the message of reconciliation. Reconciliation means that God wants reconciliation of God is peace of God. Now listen to me. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Matthew 5 verses 9. The Bible does not say, blessed be the peacekeepers. It says, blessed will be the peacemakers. Go silent, come on. Blessed will be the peacemakers, not the peacekeepers. In other words, to stand sometimes for Christ, you will get to step out of peace with what everybody's going to go for. Some people like peace more than truth. Oh, am I talking to someone? Listen, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. He doesn't say blessed are the peacekeepers. He says the peacemakers. In other words, Jesus knew that there will be times that you will need to go and reconcile. Oh, listen, a peacekeeper avoids confrontation, but avoided confrontation leads to internal frustration. And as I was busy preparing this, the Lord started to speak to me, and He said this, 1 Corinthians 13:5, and I want just to say, I'm not even on this scripture, I'm struggling also to live. The Bible says, love does not traffic in shame and in disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. We all need more of a baptism of love, Romans 5:5. Because the Bible says love is not easily irritated. Now, if you are honest with yourself, you don't qualify, and neither do I. Because all of us, we get irritated, and the irritation is many times due to a lack of love. Are you understand? Listen. And as I was looking at this, I want you to understand this. Jesus spoke this to me, and I want you to listen carefully to what I say here. I want to read for you the scripture again, and it jumped into my spirit. Listen to this. The angel says, Mark 16, verse number 6. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they put him. But go tell the disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. And as I read this, the Lord spoke to me. The Lord said to me, listen, there was two people that betrayed me. Judas betrayed me and Peter betrayed me. And then the Lord asked me this question. He said, and both of them ran. And then the Lord said this. He said, but I needed to send an angel to go and collect Peter. I said, Lord, I understand. He says, no, you don't. He says, where were Peter's friends? Where were the guys that walked with him for 3.5 years like I walked with him? Where were John? Where were James? Where were all the others? Why did Peter run away so far that I needed to send a collection agency to go and find him? Come on. And as it struck me, it was like a word into my heart, deep into my spirit. The Lord said to me, there's so many of my people right now that are so far away, and there's nobody looking for them. They got betrayed once, they got hurt once, they got offended once, and now they're lost. And then the Lord said to me, I want you to know that if you don't go and find them, I'll send my angels. Because if one is lost, I'll leave the 99, I'll go after the one. Come on, are you with me? Oh, come on, just say amen to that. You see, it doesn't make sense for you to why God will leave the 99 and go for the one unless you're the one. It doesn't make sense. Why will you sweep the whole house for one coin unless you're the lost coin? These things doesn't make sense unless you are the prodigal that sits in the mud that speaks of pigs. These stories doesn't make sense unless you are the prodigal, unless you are the lost coin, unless you are the lost one. And Jesus struck me with this word. He said, I needed to send an angel to remind Peter he needs to turn. Because Jesus prophesied to him in Luke 22. He says, Peter, I'm not going to take you out of this. You're going to go through this. But when you turn, strengthen your brothers. Oh, come on. And as I was looking at this, my heart got shocked. He said, I'm not done with you yet. Let's go to Matthew 5. I said, okay. So we went to Matthew 5:23. The Bible says this, so if you are offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Reconcile quickly with your adversary while you're still on your way to court. Otherwise, He may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. This is a massive scripture. The Bible here says this man is offering in the temple. He's literally in the temple. And Jesus, when he says, when he speaks in Matthew 5, 23, where he's standing in Galilee. When he says this parable. So Jesus is saying, listen, if you are worshiping me in my temple, and you are remembering somebody that is offended with you, then walk the 30 kilometers. Go be reconciled and walk back. That's how serious Jesus is about peacemaking. Not peacekeeping, peacemaking. Oh, come on. This is mature for mature Christians. Come on, I don't know. Oh, come on, are you there? And so I was thinking about this. Listen. You have to know that you get two types of Christians. And I say that with no weird terminology. You get those that are publicly protecting Jesus, and you get those that are privately disowning him. So publicly they say Jesus is Lord, but privately they disown him from his title. Come on, am I talking to somebody? During this week, we heard one of my daughter's friends committed suicide, a young little girl. And I needed to counsel my children how that is not okay. So how can we be okay in this season being silent? Come on, are you with me? Our children don't even know how to cope with the season. And I got so irritated because, not just for the girl's sake, but for the parents' sake, for the community's sake. I'm like, hey, this cannot be. This cannot be on our watch. I can't stay comfortable, and God knows I won't stay silent. Because, listen, it's not normal. Oh, come on. I hope there's somebody that's... I sat during this last 2 weeks, I sat with the chief commissioner in this whole area. And he said to me, the number one crime is domestic violence. He said, Pastor, the people are beating one another up. I said, well, let me do church. It will help. And it was an honest conversation. Domestic violence, all-time high. What does a 13-year-old girl know about suicide? What type of lies must the devil give? That a young child don't believe that there's hope anymore. Okay, are we on the same page here? I feel very strong about this. I'm sorry, but I do. And so, again, I don't even know why I said that, but he's a peacemaker. He's not a peacekeeper. Peace sometimes hangs and shouts. Peace sometimes just says, listen, enough of this, and he walks through the crowd. Peace sometimes rebukes the closest to him and says, hey, you're acting like Satan. Peace sometimes says, listen, I've had enough. Where is the girl? We must understand when we say peace, what do we mean of peace? Peace is not quaint, quiet, or comfortable. Peace is loud at times. Come on, are you there? Say amen with me. So I just don't know. I'm not going to be silent. We cannot be silent. We just cannot be. And as I was thinking about this, the Lord started to speak to me about the word offense. About the word offense. Again, the word offense is the Greek word scandalizo. And the word scandalizo is the word for scandal. Are you guys okay? Are you with me? Guys, if you are online, share the gospel. Get it out, please. Just share it. Let the word run. There's so many people that need this word. The word offense is a Greek word scandalizo. And then as I wondered about the word offense, the Lord said to me, what people do, listen to this. The Lord said to me, what people do is they deflect onto others so they don't reflect on themselves. So it's easy to find a wrong in somebody else and by doing so not deal of myself. Judas judged Mary. Jesus held him accountable. Oh, come on, can we have an amen for that? So deflection is a redirection. So I deflect of myself, I discuss someone else, because as long as I can discuss somebody else, I don't need to deal with me. Why do people gossip so much? Because they honestly believe that they're better. Come on, are you with me? And it's amazing that the people that gossip less is people that have lived longer. Because they understand how it feels to lose a spouse and to keep your head up. They understand how it feels to lose a parent and to lose a child and to lose a business and to lose some money. They're less arrogant because they've lost more. The Bible says, Jesus says, if you are arrogant, I'll resist you. If you're humble, I'll assist you. Come on. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so that ye may in due time. Never forget the due time. Promotion is not quick. If promotion happened before the process is done, you will mess up your promotion. Because you won't handle the stages that He wants to put you on, and the cars that He wants you to drive, and the money that He wants you to have. If He gives you promotion before your process of your heart is done, you're going to mess it up. That's why He left Joseph. It's scriptural what I'm saying. He left Joseph in that prison cell until his process, the Bible says, until the word of the Lord tested him. In other words, he stayed there until Jesus says, okay, you passed the test, come out. It's amazing. I don't want to teach about that. But if you look at Joseph's life, and that's why I believe that right now, again, it is the scars, not the wounds. Are you there? Are you with me? Offended people deflect. But the Bible, the word of the Lord says, the Bible says, the word of the Lord is a mirror. Not for my neighbor, for me. Because on judgment day, when I'm going to stand in front of Jesus, there's nobody going to be with me. Not even my wife. It's going to be me. Oh, come on, are you there? You yourself is going to stand in front of Jesus. Oh, come on, are you there? Come on, let's give Jesus a praise offering, possibly. And why is the devil attacking the church so much? Why is Satan trying to silence the voice of the church? Why? It's very easy. We are the only living organization and organism that has the answer. We are the only people that are more organized. We are so organized that when the president said open, we could open and we stopped violence in the country. I'm telling you, it's true. So we'll see. I can prophesy to you now what's going to happen. I don't even need to be prophetic. I can just tell you what's going to happen. But we cannot be silent. When my police commissioner tells me the domestic violence is all-time high in my area, when he tells me, listen, we need help and we need resources, I can't turn the other way and say, I'm going to pray for you. No, I'm going to help you. Because you're also in a governing position, so am I. And together we can take a community back. Come on, are you guys with me? Why does Satan, listen, Exodus chapter number 14, verse number 10 to 26 says this. Pharaoh sends his whole army after the Jews. His whole army, why? Why does Satan roar so hard in this hour? Why would you chase after something if they have nothing? Yet these people leave. They leave with the gold of Egypt. And he sends 600 chariots. And when you study the 600, the word 600 right there is a full declaration of war. In other words, he sends his whole army, the best that he's got, after some slaves. Why? Why will you risk your best on people that seemingly have nothing? Answer. Pharaoh knew that there was a God with the Jews. And he knew that the favor that he carried was with the people of Israel. So why did you send a whole army? Because you're trying to stop the favor they have, not you, they. So why are we, now what are we seeing? We are seeing a huge onslaught against the church worldwide. I'll slip on my own lights here. We're seeing a worldwide attack on the church. And if you still believe it's not an attack, it is an attack. Because everything in the Christian faith is meant for physical being together. Laying of hands, casting out devils, healing the sick, anointing, impartation, all of these things. And so we embrace both, of course, you know, and as I always say, you know, during this lockdown, God was on our side because we've grown. So we can be comfortable, we can keep the doors shut and just have cameras on and keep on growing. But I know that there's something holy in standing next to somebody, lifting my hands and worshiping the one. Come on, are you there? That's why we have attitude right now. Amen. Come on. Come on, praise the Yira. Let's have some attitude. So Judas allowed entry. Peter also allowed entry. Both of them allowed entry. And this is what got to me. Help me, Aiden. This is what got to me. Both of them, listen to this. Are you with me? Save me, Revelation. Okay, both were boasting in themselves. Okay, no, that's too much. You're going to let me explode. Only one had a revelation of Jesus. And this is the difference between the two. This is why Judas hanged himself. Very simple. This is why Judas hanged himself. It's because Peter boasted in his ability to not deny the Lord. But he did it on an outward process. In other words, when Malchus came and the Jews came to arrest Jesus with a cohort, Peter pulled the sword. It's like, I'm ready to defend you, Lord. And we need those Christians. But when the tide turned against Peter, Peter started to run. Are you there? So you get the loud ones and then the running ones. But Judas betrayed the Lord in his heart. And I'll tell you, like the Lord gave it to me. Peter boasted about his ability to never forsake Jesus. In other words, Peter said, never, Jesus. Never will this happen to you. Never, ever, ever. In Mark 16. But listen to this. But Judas boasted in his sneakiness to get away with it. So Judas was stealing behind the scenes and he was boasting in himself that he can get away with it. And what happened is that both of them were caught out by the cross. The cross is a turning place. The cross is vertical and it's horizontal. It is an equalizer. It is a reconciler between heaven and man with man. Heaven and man and man, that's the cross. And so what did Peter do? Peter had a revelation of Jesus, so he turned towards Jesus. And he came back. Are you there? And Jesus sent him an angel. He said, go get my Peter. Oh, I love that. Go get Peter. Go get all the other guys, but make sure you get Peter. But Judas kept on turning to himself. And so when Judas went to the tree, I want you to listen to me very carefully here, because I'm giving you symbolism. When Judas went to the tree, he went to his own tree. He died trying to have his own righteousness back on his own terms. And he gave his life. He gave back the money. Sounds like a news story. Give back the money. Something we need to say to our government. Give back the money. But when he turned and he gave back the money, he still got hanged. And he died and he went to hell. Why? He wanted to turn to God based on his own righteousness. And there was no escaping. You can't lie to death. You have to turn to the one that has conquered death. And so here is the bottom line. You can sneaky, cheeky, weaky all the way, but the cross will catch you out. So just because you get away with it doesn't mean that God doesn't see. I know about many Christians, they are sneaky as hell. And they think we are not a discerning people. No. You're in the wrong church of the wrong people. No, come on here. The cross will catch you out. It will. And it will make you divide in your heart. And you'll have to choose. And if you choose Jesus, He's got grace. He sends an angel. Oh, come on, save me, Revelation. Okay, now I want you to say, forgiven much, love much. Say with me again, forgiven much, love much. Again, forgiven much, love much. Listen, who went looking for Jesus? Once, Mary. Mary came, Jesus was sitting in Simon's house. And by the way, Simon needed to wipe his face, needed to give him oil and wipe his feet to recognize him as a rabbi, which he didn't do. Jesus sits down to eat. Mary comes in as a prostitute because she's going to disrupt Jesus. The Bible says she talks nothing, doesn't say anything. She just has a posture. And her posture is, you can heal me. And she breaks everything on him. She breaks the alabaster jar. Because by breaking your alabaster jar as a Jewish woman, you were declaring covenant. So she comes, she declares covenant. She says, I want to be married to what you carry. Achania. Jylle maak my depressed, man. Die Here weet, come on. She breaks everything on Jesus. And the only guy that has a problem with that is a religious dude called Simon. Simon says, what are you doing? He thinks that Jesus answers him. Because there's only the word, Hebrews 4:12, that is the divider between soul and spirit, bone and marrow, and the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So the word sits, oil gets poured on him, somebody thinks a thought, and the word discerns it, and the word calls on that thought. That's Revelation 3. So, I want you to understand something. Then Jesus goes to be crucified. He dies. He got put into a grave. Who goes and looks for Jesus again? Mary. Who is found at the grave? Mary. Why? Answer. Luke 7 verses 47. Therefore I tell you, her sins are many. As her great lover shown, but whoever has been forgiven little loves little. And it struck my heart. The reason why so many Christians are offended in this hour. Matthew chapter number 24, verse number 12 said, and because lawlessness will abound, like we're seeing in the country, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. In other words, the further they get disconnected from the source, Jesus, the more they're going to love their friends, and the more they're going to love everything else, and the more they're going to deny me. And then I come. And then what? Then there's 10 virgins, 5 that has oil. Oil means time with me, 5 without oil. And this word struck my heart deeply, and I said, Lord, can it be that we have forgotten how much we have been forgiven of? Those that love much are forgiven much. Then the flip side must be true. those that judge quickly have forgotten how much they've been forgiven of. Those that are offended quickly have forgotten how great an offense they were to Jesus once. Just because we're in doesn't mean we have something to brag about. Because He says this in His Word. He said, you've been grafted in. I can take you out again. Oh, come on. It's like my 5-year-old daughter, that she gets to drive with me more than my other girls because they go to school. And so obviously my 5-year-olds will go to school, but she goes less to school. Are you there? And so less time at school, more time with dad equals more gifts. You know what I'm talking about. And so every now and again, she likes to brag with the abundance she has. The reason why she has more is because she spends more time. Are you there? But every now and again, I have to reprimand her and say, hey, just because you have, don't brag of your sisters, because if I can give it, I can take it away. And then her attitude shifts and she's all huggy and snuggy. Why? Because she understands that the source that gives can take away. There are many Christians that are acting like spoiled kids. Just because He has forgiven you and let you get away with something for a moment doesn't mean you can brag about your mountaintop while somebody else is experiencing their valley. Because be careful, because God can take you from that mountaintop and put you into that valley. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, come on, let's give Jesus Christ a praise. Oh, this is a good word. Come on, are you enjoying this? I know this is good. So, offended people deflect. Offended people will always deflect to other people. They will always, if I had a torch and I switch on the torch is deflect. I deflect your focus towards other people. And offended people like to deflect. Unoffended people like to reflect. Okay, let me teach you the Lucifer factor here. Satan, which was Lucifer once, got offended. To tell you that what I'm saying is scriptural. He was a reflector. But then he wanted praise. He reflected God's glory because he was made of emerald and diamonds and pearls and all this stuff. He was a reflector. He was a worshiper. But then he wanted to have the worship. And he went from reflection to deflection. And now what is he doing? Satan is deflecting on man the whole time. He's trying to take man out. Why? You carry the image of the one. Oh, okay. Are you guys with me? And so here is my question, and I'll end of this. It's simple really tonight. But if you understand that hanging is a slow process. Oh, I'm just going to say it. It's amazing for me how many uncommitted people are hugely opinionated. Are you with me? Listen, I've been in church for too long maybe, but it's amazing for me to see the people that have a lot to say. They are often the people that are the least committed. They don't show up at the church services. They don't show up in serving. They don't greet us ushers. They don't do squat. They just moan. It sounds like Aaron and the sister of Moses. And you know what was God's attitude? God said to Moses, please get out of the way. I want to kill them. And Moses said, whoa. Let me remind you of your character. And God stopped. It's true. Die mense wat my moeg maak is mense wat nie committed is nie. Hulle doen niks vir die kerk. Hulle dien nêrens nie. Hulle praat nie die hele tyd. So hulle wil vir my sê hoe ek met die kerk doen, wat ons moet doen, wat ons nie moet doen nie, maar hulle doen niks. En ek is soos, is waar, het raarig, ek ben julle wys op my phone, ek krijg honderde en honderde WhatsApps van klomp mense that want to tell me the whole time how we need to do stuff. And I'm like, show me then, if you want to judge how I lead, show me what you've led. Show me the church you've led. Show me, I want to see the thousands following you. I want to see you going through pressure. I want to see you stay faithful in prayer, faithful in fasting, faithful in the word, faithful, faithful, faithful. Show me, then talk to me. But don't come and talk if you haven't led nothing. Are you there? So every now and again I feel like that. Then I want to like, where's the emoji for this? Yeah, you guys are like that too. The difference between us, you can say it. It's true. Like the other day, I'll tell you a true story now. The other day, I was sitting with my sister in a meeting. And I've got a pretty sister. So, she looks good, she smells good, she acts good, she's always good. And so, I was sitting in a meeting with her, a church meeting. And I saw this other guy was like checking her out. I was like, hey. I literally leaned across. And I leaned like this. And I eyeballed the guy. I was like, what the hell? Because there's certain places we don't go. No. Ons het die pastoor baie afval. Are you guys with me? And so, listen. We are not Chino Taki driven pastors. We are here to cause revival. We are here to cause an uprising. We are here to tell the devil, shut up and get out. We are here to be a voice. You couldn't crush us when anybody was dying around us. You couldn't crush us in defeat. You couldn't crush us in betrayal. So the end of it, we're not going to be silent now. We have got nothing to lose and everything to gain. We're going to lead this thing. Are you guys with me? It's true what I'm saying. No, it's too late, devil. Sorry. It's too late now. Because we survived it. I was praying the other day. I was praying. I was like, God, tell me, give me a word now. He said, listen, I'm proud of you. You survived it. I said, what? He said, no, I just want you to know, every now and again, I'm proud of you. You're taking territory. And so I want to tell all of you tonight, you're taking territory. You're choosing to be in church. Everybody that is online, you're choosing to be on church. You're choosing to worship Him. You're choosing to praise Him. You're choosing to watch this pastor tonight. You're choosing to watch me. You're choosing Jesus. Where everybody in the world is hanging out at some bar that can't save them. Some drink that can't relieve them. Oh, come on. Some drug. Listen, you can ask some of my pastors, some of the guys that are following us, you can ask them. The highest high you can get is the Holy Ghost. True story. You don't get as high as what you can get on the Holy Spirit to let Him fill you. And then you won't need heroin and dacha and marijuana and whatever else. You'll need the Holy Ghost. It's true. Walk of God and you'll need to smoke less. Walk of God, you'll need to drink less. Walk of God, you need to sneak around less. And you'll be offended less. Oh, come on. That's why I teach my girls, take your price up. You're worth a lot. You're worth a lot. You're angels, you're worth a lot. Amen. And so here's my question. I want to lay hands. This is my question. Pastor Eric, Stefan, this is what the Lord said to me. The Lord said to me, will you be somebody's angel? Can I send you? The Lord said to me, He said, can I send you to go find my sons? Can I send you to go find my daughters? Can I send you that? Because in this hour, there's so many people that are offended. And time is running out. Will you be somebody's angel? That's a big question. What do you mean, Lord? Should I forgive? Yeah. Again? Yeah. Listen, I want to just help you out. Don't be too religious. Just want to help out quickly. God forgives, but He doesn't always reconcile. Samson made heaven, but he never made it out of the prison cell again. Samson made heaven, but he never got his eyes back. There's some stuff, if you're going to mess up, you're going to lose. There's no comebacks of certain stuff. In ministry, there's no comeback from adultery. There's no comeback from alcohol abuse. There's no comeback from violence. Sorry, there isn't. God will keep you out of hell, but He's definitely not going to reinstate you. He'll fire you. And He'll go make you serve somewhere else. It's true what I'm saying. Right now, I'm seeing a certain person on Facebook. I won't name names. But I'm greatly grieved of the people that think this is a comeback. No, it's not. It's a man that's been fired by God. So we're not here to judge anybody, but we are here to tell somebody, listen, you have to be somebody's angel. There's many Peters. They've pulled the sword once. Oh, come on, am I talking to someone? Am I talking to someone? Just say with me, I believe, just say, yes, you are talking to me. Because listen, you're going to have many reasons to be offended. You're going to be left out. You're going to be walked out on. There will be many reasons for you to be offended. And I want to give you three lasting things before I ask you to do something. I want to give you three lasting things to stay free from offense. First and foremost, please do not live your life to please man. Please God and only God and love man. Secondly, every time you feel the spirit of offense to climb on you, ask the Lord for more of His love. Because I get it, some people will judge you from their level. But so does tortoises for giraffes. And the reason why a tortoise judge a giraffe is because the tortoise does not share the giraffe's perspective. They are a tortoise. They're not a giraffe. So don't, as a giraffe, get into discussion with tortoises. Let me give you a scripture for what I'm saying. 1 Timothy 4:7, Colossians 2:8. I have nothing to do with ungodly chatter. I have nothing to do with tortoise discussions. Leave it be and walk away. Oh, because if you don't, you're going to get a rebuke from Jesus. He's going to tell you, get behind me. It's true. Oh, come on. Are you there? That's a good one. Leave the tortoise discussions. It's amazing how people with less pressure want to judge other people's pressure. I think they have a right. No, no, no. Come and raise that child. Then come and don't give me that eye. You know what I'm talking about. Come and raise that little demon. Then you tell me if I'm a bad parent. It's amazing, the other day we walked, my daughter was yelling, like shouting like she's possessed. And I was like, here, there you go, walk with your mom. I will walk there. Have you ever done that? And as we walked in there, it's just the moms that are laughing because they know what I'm talking about. And the judgment looks we got, like, can't your parent better? We're like, hey, you're old. Shh. Don't come and tell us. But it's amazing how much people will judge other people's pressure and tell them how they would have done it. No, don't come and judge. Don't come and judge what you don't understand. Don't come and judge pressure based on your level. And here's the awesome thing. Let me equalize all of us. All of us has fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. And without Jesus, all of us are going to hell. You can go to hell in my M4, and you can go to hell driving your Isuzu. But if you don't call upon the name of the Lord, you will not be saved. True story. So we have to call upon the name of the Lord. And that's why we will not be silent right now. Are you there? We will be loud. Because we are imitating the lion. Yeah. We are imitating the lion. He roars, we roar. Are you there? And we sneaky when we need to be, according to his wisdom. But we take territory the whole time. My dad always said this. He said, before you judge somebody else's heart, win your own. Often when we discuss other, when I want to discuss other people, he would say, before we judge other people's intent, let's talk about yours. How many of us have not got into Judas discussions? And I think Jesus wanted to actually give Judas a shot. Because listen, the guy functioned with power, signs, and miracles. I know the Bible says he should have betrayed. I know. So scripture cannot be broken. I understand. But I wish so many Christians will not turn to themselves in this hour, but turn to the Lord. Because the hourglass is running out. What are we going to do? I tell you what we do. We worship louder. We are more passionate about the lost. We love Jesus more extravagant. Is it going to get more crazy in the world? Yes, I tell you, it's going to get more crazy. But simultaneously, it doesn't mean that he'll walk out on us. He said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So if he made us be born in this hour, he must believe that we carry what we need to carry to make this happen. Are you there? And so tonight I want to challenge you. Will you be somebody's angel? I'm not saying go and reconcile them back to ministry. I'm saying to you, if God leads you, then reconcile peace. Some people, and I want to be clear, some people don't need to be phoned, no SMS, no WhatsApp, no Telegram, nothing. Some people you just have to let go out of your heart. Christians are all religious. We're like, ach, nie, ek wil nou vir Jannie bel. Nee, los vir Jannie. You just forgive him and walk away. That's it. It's crazy how people get. Because how do you tell a girl that's just been raped to go and forgive the one that raped her? It's nonsense. No, there will come a day in your future when you can let go. But don't tell them immediately. Don't tell people that are grieving now, get over yourself. We as Christians, we're so bad at this stuff. We're like, no, just call on us. We'll do everything for you. You know, if you want anything, just we'll phone. Really? No, you won't. There's only one that calls. It's true. He says your name in a certain way, then you know it's him. Jesus said, have you seen my Lord? Where have you placed him? Jesus said, Mary. She said, Rabboni. In other words, at the pronunciation of a name, she got the revelation that He's the Lord. There is a way that He says your name that will make you turn from anything. It's true what I'm saying. And sometimes He just needs us to call other people's names and say, come back. Church, let me be honest with you. I'm going to pray for people now. Listen, let me be honest. Time is up. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15, we don't know, we just know He's coming. No man knows it, but I tell you, it's obey. I'm not meaning that we have time left in that sense, but what I am saying is that if you understand the urgency of the hour, that's why we are so persistent. Not rebellious, just persistent. Why? Because we cannot let people go lost. Can you imagine how many people I could have saved in 18 months if I could have gone full blown? Can you imagine through this church that houses thousands of people? Can you imagine how many people we've lost? Because we couldn't function like we should have functioned. Who's going to be responsible for that? Not me, because we pushed every single button we could. God will keep those responsible that put the limitations on us. Are you there? It's a serious game when it gets souls, because Jesus paid with His blood. It's true what I'm saying. So I'm saying, God, judge fairly, and I just don't want to be guilty. May the fear of the Lord come upon our nation. This morning, I love Empower. This morning, people are sitting here 8:15, just making sure they get into church. Why? There's a hunger, there's an uprising happening. Something is happening. And I'm saying, come Lord Jesus. And so tonight, there we are, guys. I want us to respond. I've taught long, but I want us to respond tonight. If that's you tonight, inside this building, online, watching us, and you say, I need to be somebody's angel, and maybe you are Peter. I don't know. Might be one of the two, but it's time to come home. And then I want to call upon you and say, come home. And simultaneously, I want to send you and say, go find someone and bring them back home. I want you to note, lastly, that Jesus made Peter caught the fish. Jesus did not clean the fish. He just caught them. Peter needed to clean them. Sometimes God will send you stuff, but you'll need to do the cleaning. He's not going to do it for you. Amen. And so if that's you tonight and online, you're saying, that's me. Inside this building, you're saying, let's go first call. If you're saying, I'm Peter, I need to return to the Lord. Online, won't you say, if that's you online, guys, saying, I'm Peter, I need to return to the Lord, then just say, I'm Peter. And if inside here, you're saying, I'm Peter, I need to return to the Lord, then you have to stand up and say, here am I'm Peter. There's areas in my life that I've given away. Sneaky. Then it's fine. The Bible says, bring it in the light. Are you there? Bring that Netflix in the light. Bring that porn in the light. Bring that alcohol in the light. Bring that fix in the light. If you bring it in the light, He heals you in the light. But don't suffer in the darkness. Are you there? And so if that's you, I want us to respond quickly to that. I'm just watching all the online comments. Anybody inside you? I want to pray. There's people online commenting. Then you guys that are holy inside, thank you. You know, it sometimes just takes one person. That young man jumped up first. It just takes one normally to save the others. Thank you. Just for honesty. Would you lift your hands there you're standing? Christians that are around them, you can put your hands on them. Come on, the Bible says we are peacemakers, not peacekeepers. Many people are online commenting. Father, I pray for every single person. I pray for every single person inside your Lord standing. Lord, I don't know what it is that has convicted their spirits, but I do know that you are not a condemner. I know that you love people. And so I pray that the chains will break in this night. Whatever it is, Lord, that have held them back, whatever it is that they feel ashamed of, whatever it is, Lord, that they feel guilty of, Father, I pray in this night, break those chains in Jesus' name. And we speak a word of healing right now over your life. And we ask you, Lord, heal now in Jesus' name. We pray over every single person commenting online. We pray, Father, that right now that people will get healed, set free, and delivered in Jesus Christ's name. Can I have the worship team in Jesus Christ's name? Now I want to pray a prayer. The anointing is here because He wants to send you. Holy Spirit is here because He's backing what I'm saying. These are not my words, it's His words. That's why the presence of God is here. The presence of God is here because the Holy Spirit is doing witnessing to His words, not mine. The Bible says He doesn't need to back mine words. He needs to back the words of Jesus. And so my question to you tonight is, and everybody that is online, my question to you is, will you be somebody's angel? God has got sons and daughters that are prostitutes. God has got sons and daughters that are business people. God has got sons and daughters that are just lost. And you need to go and find them and bring them back. And so what I'm asking you to do tonight, I'm asking you to be somebody's angel. To go and get them, find them, bring them to church. They don't need to be anything but drag them, pull them, carry them, just bring them. We'll clean them.
If you've been impacted by this ministry in any way, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially and help us continue delivering God's word all around the world. Visit www.empowerchurch.co.za and find the giving option that works best for you, as well as some of our latest resources. Thank you again for joining us. Now go and live an empowered life.